isn't just a table. Look close enough, and you'll see that it's marked with moments of joy and laughter, sadness and celebration. In its grooves and lines, dents and stains, are the sounds of hundreds of dishes being set, chairs being pulled up and pushed back, and the laughter of stories, the chorus of birthdays, and the difficult conversations that stretch into the night. In this table are the scars and testaments of a life well lived. And that is why this is far more than a place to gather, break bread, and give thanks. It is a sacred place where an extra chair is easily added, and there's always room for just one more. Where we welcome those we've just met as easily as those we cherish most. Because here, you are unconditionally accepted and loved, no matter what. This is what it means to sit at Christ's table. He calls us to share it with as many as possible and invite them to come alongside us as we pursue Him. So in this season of Thanksgiving, remember to embrace the ones you love. Make space for those who no one else will. Celebrate our differences. Be the arms and feet of Jesus. And give thanks for the one who unites us all.
Welcome to church. We are so glad you're here today. Would you stand with me as we get ready to worship the Lord? We're going to start off by saying our mission statement as a church. Let's read it together. We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we can come here today and worship you and praise you. And God, I pray for anyone that comes in here today and that maybe they've had a difficult day or maybe they've had a difficult week. Thank you that your word says, don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. God, today we've come to just remind ourselves that we're here to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, that in you we live and move and have our being. Thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, may we live to worship you in spirit and truth. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
All right. There we go. We just got to switch mics.
It's a bigger tablet.
Check. Okay, there we go. All right, sorry about that, guys. Something is really not working here. It all worked in practice, and now it's just not. It will? All right, well, we're just going to go for it. How about we pray again, because it sounds like we need it. Lord, we just invite you here. God, as we sing to you, would you just inhabit our praise, come into this place, and meet us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones, the joy I want. Brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken, and I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. A place to hide, 'cause I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind, and I won't be shaken, and I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's
fear doesn't stand a chance because we know our future is in you. We rest in eternity, the peace and the hope that only comes from you, God.
So let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. He's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. Let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. He's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. So hello peace, hello joy, hello love, and hello strength, hello hope until you rise up. And hello peace, hello joy. strength and hope, it's a new rising. So if you're ready for a breakthrough, just open up and just receive. 'Cause what he's pouring out is nothing, nothing you ever see. You ever see. Oh, hello.
To be reminded that we're on this planet for a bigger reason than ourselves, that we're here to build your kingdom, your eternal kingdom, to remind ourselves that we're not citizens here, we're citizens of heaven, and we're just passing through. And Lord, just remind us of the reality of heaven, and as we go through the journey of this life, as we face challenges and difficulties, may we remember that you are processing us, that you're like the dean of the school, the university of life that we're a part of, and you allow challenges and difficulties to mold us and to shape us. Help us to respond with faith. Help us to respond properly. Oh God, we expect things to happen because we're here, that we're in faith. That wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't. Thank you that you are a God who answers prayer. God, we've come to praise you, to adore you. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You are the sovereign King of all eternity. And we come to bow before you. We haven't come to ask you to bow your will or bend your will to our will, but rather we've come to bend our will to your greater will. That's why we pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Friends, would you please be seated as we go into just some prayers? And you know, prayer is simply talking to God. It's communicating. It's listening. It's sharing. I'm going to give you some prayer prompts that you can use as the springboard of your prayer time. We always want to begin our prayer time by focusing on the Lord. In Psalms, it says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us pray. Lord, you are mighty and full of glory. Everything in creation belongs to you. We lift our voices in joy and praise because you are worthy of all honor and worship. So just take a moment and tell the Lord what you adore about him. Our next prayer part is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Father, we confess that we have sinned in our thoughts, our words, and our action. Please forgive us and help us to turn away from sin so we can follow you more closely. So just take a moment and pray, Holy Spirit, point out in me what is unholy. And then when the Lord brings something to your, to the surface, ask for his grace and forgiveness. Our next prayer part is thanksgiving. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and faithfulness. We're grateful for your love, mercy, and the blessings you give us every day. Let us just take a moment and tell the Lord what we're grateful for. Next is supplication. James says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let us pray. Lord, we bring our needs before you. Heal those who are hurting. Give peace to those who are worried. And help us trust you no matter what happens. So this would be a time when you would bring your daily needs to the Lord. finally, we're going to be praying for the city of Old Concord. In Romans 10:14, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Let us pray. Father, we lift up Old Concord to you. May the people in Old Concord know your love and truth. Raise up leaders, neighbors, and friends who will share your word with courage and kindness. Let Old Concord be a place where your light shines brightly. Let us just take a moment and lift up the city of Concord. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to now watch our CCC news.
Good morning, CCC family. I'm your high school pastor, Pastor Owen, and I would just love to say, welcome to church. If this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given a mug with some awesome gifts inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you, because you are here on purpose, because God has a purpose for you. Let's get into the announcements. So coming up, we are over halfway through November. This is crazy. But coming up on November 26th, here at the church, we'll be having a Christmas decorating. So decorating the gathering grounds, the sanctuary, just the church. That's on the 26th from 10 o'clock a.m. to 4 p.m. Anyone is welcome. Visit the welcome desk for more information, but we would just love for you to come out and help decorate our church. Also, our church is doing our annual Thanksgiving meal on the 27th. This will be from 11 to 12:30. So you can serve, cook some food, eat, build relationships, grow fellowship. This is just an amazing opportunity to get to know people in the church and people in our community, because this Thanksgiving meal is open to our community. Also, we have our Christmas package. So on December 14th, we will be having our kids Christmas program. This is just a highlight of the Christmas season. It's so incredible. This will be on the 14th during both services. We also will be having our Christmas Eve services at 1, 3, and 5. You have three options. We'd love to see you at 1, 3, or 5. That is on Christmas Eve. Starting last Wednesday, our kids group, so infant through fifth grade, they are on a Christmas break while our kids pastors and everyone is focusing on this kids Christmas program. So infant through fifth grade will be taking a break. You will be back on the 7th of January. Also, have you ever wondered what's going on at our church? You don't know the events coming up. Well, if you look at those little white circles, those are our church tap tags. If you take out your phone and open it, you can either tap it. You might need to swipe your phone a little bit, but this will open up. This will take you to our website where you have access to our calendar, our highlighted events, and our process groups. So if you're ever wondering what's going on, please tap our tap tag and find out. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday.
Would you stand up and greet those around you and welcome to church today?
These are instructions from Nick.
So one of my fondest memories is going to my grandma's house, and she used to live in Southeast Rochester. And we would go there on Christmas Day to celebrate, Thanksgiving Day, to celebrate Thanksgiving. And I just remember how, you know, walking into her house, you could smell the pumpkin pie and the turkey and the mashed potatoes. And you'd go into the house and take your coat off and kind of see relatives that you hadn't seen in quite a while. And it was interesting because the house was kind of segmented. The men were in the living room watching the football game. The ladies were in the kitchen. And it was interesting because the men were in the living room complaining about the Vikings. The women were in the kitchen complaining about the men. And then the kids were downstairs complaining about their parents. But I remember just having such great fond memories of going to Grandma's house on Thanksgiving Day. And then there was the moment we had all waited for. Someone would yell downstairs, "It's time to eat." And we'd all go and we would pile up our plates kind of like we were never going to eat again. And you would eat so much. And then it was time to go. And we got in the car and we left to go back home with leftover turkeys for about 2 weeks. Now, as I think back to those times and those great memories at Grandma's house, as an adult, one of the things that stands out to me is that there was very little thankfulness that took place on Thanksgiving. That as an adult, I realized that I practiced gratitude rarely on Thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to forget the reason for something? That on the day that is set aside to give thanks to God, often that's the thing that is furthest from our mind. We're thinking about hunting and eating and watching football. The day that is set aside to give thanks to God becomes about something else. Can you relate? Have you ever looked at your past Thanksgiving experiences and thought, wow, I spent very little time actually giving gratitude to God? So let us be reminded of what is the purpose of Thanksgiving. The purpose of Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. The purpose of Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. Webster's dictionary defines Thanksgiving, quote, a day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness. A day set aside to thank God. A day set aside to focus on the goodness of God. So if Thanksgiving is about thanks living, I want to start off by giving us a little quiz on how we're doing when it comes to gratitude. So let's just take a moment and think for ourselves. Now, don't take this quiz on behalf of someone else. Well, they got to really work on their gratitude. Nuh-uh. What about yourself? So number one, what do you tend to talk more about, your blessings or your disappointments? So if I was to overhear your conversations this week, what would I have heard you talking about mostly, your blessings or your disappointments? Are you a complainer, always grumbling and finding fault with your circumstances or other people? Sometimes I have to remind people, complaining isn't a spiritual gift. Some of you are like, wow, I learned something today. The Bible says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. But sometimes we can develop just a complaining, grumbling spirit, and it's just happening and we're not even aware of it. Three, are you content with what you have, or are you always dissatisfied and wanting more? I think one of Satan's greatest lies is this: if only you had that, you'd be happy. And by the way, it's on the other side of the fence. It's in someone else's yard. If you just had that, you'd be happy. If you just had this, you'd be happy. No, the Bible says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do you find it easier to count your blessings or your afflictions? Now, let's face it, sometimes the difficult things are louder in our heads. I get that. And it's easier to just count our afflictions and our blessings. But there was an old song called Count Your Blessings. How often do you do that? How often do you practice gratitude? Here's another thing. Do you express thanks to others when they help you out or take it for granted. Think about someone who's believed in you, someone who is kind to you, someone who's generous to you, someone who's made a difference in your life. Have you ever thanked them? See, not only are we to thank God, but we're to thank others. Finally, would others describe you as a thankful person? So if I interviewed your spouse or your kids or your grandkids, would they describe you as a thankful person? Now, I know God's will for each and every one of you. You ever had someone tell you that? That's a dangerous thing to say. I've had people say, I know God's will for you. And I'll say, well, I'll wait for him to tell me at first. But this is God's will for your life. It says, in all things, give thanks to God, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God's will for each and every one of us is to be thankful. And we're going to talk about this a lot today, not necessarily for a circumstance, but in a circumstance. So I'm going to just challenge us this week. I'm actually starting a new series, and today I'm talking about gratitude, and next week I'm talking about gratitude. I'm going to talk about developing the attitude of gratitude. I remember reading once that the most toxic emotion is revenge. The most deadly emotion is revenge, unforgiveness, bitterness. The most healing emotion is gratitude. So developing, maybe that's why God wanted us to develop the attitude of gratitude, right? So what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about three ways to develop the attitude of gratitude this Thanksgiving. And the first thing is to give thanks to God by singing. Say singing. In Psalms 147, the author tells us what brings God joy. Now think about it for a moment. What brings God happiness? What brings God joy? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm interested in learning that, right? What brings the Lord joy? What pleases him? And here's what we learn. Here's what pleases God. When we trust him and worship him with our whole heart. When we trust him and worship him with our whole heart. In fact, Psalms 147, it starts with this verse. I'm sorry, this phrase, and it ends with this phrase. It's kind of like the bookends of a bunch of books. There's the bookends. This chapter, Psalms 147, begins and ends with the same phrase, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in verse 7, it gives us a practical way to express our trust and worship in God. Here it is. Sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to our God. Singing is a way to express our trust and our thankfulness to God. If we go to Psalms 100, in this, the Psalms invites us to enter joyfully into God's presence. And now this is an invitation, not just for that generation, but for future generations. And then it says this, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with a joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And see, when we recognize how good God is, and when we recognize what an honor it is to be able to worship him, there's a sense of joy that comes with his presence. How often do you thank God by singing songs of gratitude to him? Now, one of the things that is interesting about Christianity is that Christianity is a singing faith. In fact, think about the early Christians. One of the things that stood out about the early Christians, now get this, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. This is amazing. As they were being led into the amphitheater to be torn apart by ravenous lions, moments away from death, guess what they were doing? Singing to the Lord. And not only was this an amazing way to honor God by saying, I trust you, but what an incredible witness it was to the people who were watching. They were literally singing songs of trust as they were being led into the lion's den. In Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul casting out a spirit from a slave girl who had the ability to tell the future. Now, her owners realized that this had happened and it would take away from their profits, their money profits. So then Paul and Silas were brought before the officials, and they were beaten and then thrown into jail. Okay? So they were beaten and thrown into jail for doing God's work. Now, how did they respond? Remember the things that I've taught you over and over the years? E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. The E stands for the event. Often we cannot control the event. The R stands for our response. The O stands for the outcome. Chuck Swindoll says that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond. So how did Paul and Silas respond in that prison? Do you know what they did? They sang songs of praise and worship to God. Isn't that amazing? They're in prison and they're singing songs of praise to God. And what happened? God saw their praise. God saw their trust. And he allowed this earthquake to happen. And it caused the cells to open. And they were set free. Now think about it. Think about the power of praise to set someone free from the prison they're in. Now what prison are you in today? Maybe you're in an emotional prison. Fear, worry, anxiety, discouragement, unforgiveness, bitterness. Maybe you're in a relational prison of loneliness, of unresolved conflict. Maybe there's that unresolved conflict that is just eating away with you. And as we go into the holidays, it's difficult to just be in the same room as that person. Maybe betrayal. Maybe a financial prison of debt and out of control spending. Is it possible that praise would set you free from that prison? But here's the thing. We don't wait until we're out of the prison to praise. We praise God in the prison. We praise God right now. We don't wait until the situation is completed or the situation is done. No, by faith, we praise God in the prison. Amen? See, thanksgiving is really about thanks living. And the first way that we can develop this attitude of gratitude is by thanking God through singing. Now, here's the next thing. We can thank God by prayer. Now, what is prayer? My favorite definition of prayer. Prayer is the familiar and earnest talking to God. Prayer is the familiar and earnest talking to God. So if you know how to talk to another person, and let me remind you that in any conversation, there's talking and listening. Amen? It's a familiar, in other words, it's something we do regularly. And it's earnest, in other words, it's genuine. And notice what Paul says in Philippians. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, I find that one of the hardest promises in the Bible to obey. I deal with anxiety, yes. But he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, see it, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. By the way, if you don't have that section of scripture memorized, that's an amazing section to memorize. But what's even more incredible is when we think about where Paul was when he wrote those words. He was in prison. Now, biblical historian says this is what the prison experience was like. Roman imprisonment was preceded by being stripped naked, then flogged, a humiliating, painful, bloody ordeal. The bleeding wounds went untreated as prisoners sat in painful leg or wrist chains. Mutilated, bloodstained clothing was not replaced, even in the cold of winter. Most cells were dark, especially the inner cells of prison, as the one Paul and Silas inhabited in Philippi. Unbearably cold, lack of water, cramped quarters, a sickening stench from few toilets made sleeping difficult and waking hours miserable. Because of these miserable conditions, many prisoners begged for a speedy death. Others simply committed suicide. So it's in that circumstance that Paul writes the epistle of joy. Now what that tells me is that joy is not dependent on what's happening around you. Happiness does. Happiness depends on what's happening to you. Joy depends on what's happening within you. It comes from your relationship and connection with Jesus. And Jesus can give you joy in prison. Jesus can give you a peace in the midst of the storm. And one of the things Paul encourages us to do is to replace our worries with prayer. Now, how many of you know how to worry? I don't need to teach you how to worry. I mean, a lot of us, myself included, are really good at it. What if we were to say, thank you, devil, for reminding me to pray? Whenever a worrisome thought comes into our mind, we're like, thank you, devil, for reminding me to pray. You know, it says in Genesis, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So what if we saw our worries as a reminder to pray? What if we worried less and prayed more? And in addition, he says, practice thankfulness. So how often do you write a thankful list? I think I just made up a word. a thankful list, a gratitude list. I try to make at least two a day because I just want to develop an attitude of gratitude. I always remember reading once that complainers always find something to complain about. Worshippers always find something to thank God about. Which one are you? Which one am I? And there's something about gratitude that gives us an amazing peace. In fact, in John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, genuine peace isn't found in a problem-free life. It's not found in chasing good feelings. It's just trusting that God will take care of everything as I do my prayerful best to fulfill my responsibilities. And when we trust God, we can remain calm in a traffic jam. We can remain calm in that tough phone call. We can remain calm in a strained relationship. We can remain calm even in the face of death, because his supernatural peace will give you the ability to just trust in him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Is God asking you to worry less and pray more? The Bible says that we're to pray with gratitude. Now, one of the ways that you can do this is to remember that God is not asking you to thank him for everything, but to thank him in everything. He's not asking you to thank him for that health problem, but he's asking you to thank him in that health problem. He's not asking you to thank him for that bad day. He's asking you to thank him in that bad day. Do you see the difference? Not thanking him for that hurt, but thanking him in that hurt. And one of the ways that we can do this is to what's been called the gratitude prayer, which is for every ask, you share two things you're grateful for. Does that make sense? So the ratio is 1-2. For every ask, God, help me with this, and thank you for this and this. So let me give you an example. Lord, please capture my kids' hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of you. Maybe that's your request. And thank you for never leaving me and the clean water I have to drink. So instead of just asking God, and there's a place for that, but you also, you thank him. So Thanksgiving is about thanks living. Would you say that with me? Thanksgiving is about thanks living. And the final way you do this is by sharing a testimony. Now, earlier I shared with you how Paul and Silas were in prison, and they chose to do what? They chose to praise God in the prison. And what happened? God sent an earthquake and set them free. But guess what? They did not use their freedom as a means of escape. They used their freedom as a means of sharing Jesus with the jailer. They didn't use their freedom to escape. They used their freedom as a platform to testify about their faith in Jesus. Isn't that interesting? In Acts 16:27, it says, the jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. See, that jailer would have been killed if the prisoners were gone, so he was just going to kill himself. Verse 28, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We're here. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Now, do you see that? Praise set him free, but they didn't use that freedom to escape. They used that freedom to testify about Jesus. Isn't that something? And that is one of the ways that we can thank God, is by testifying to others about Jesus. Here's what Jesus did for me. In fact, in Isaiah 12:4, it says, "Thank the Lord, praise his name, tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is." Thanksgiving is what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is what? Thanksgiving. Now, one of the best ways that we can develop this attitude is to remember it's not so much thanking God for difficulties, but it's thanking God in difficulties. So Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp. This was a place of horror, hunger, and hopelessness. The cell that they were in was infested, get this, with fleas, and it was overcrowded. Yet somehow, by the grace of God, they were able to smuggle a Bible in. And as they studied the Bible, they came to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, Betsy decided to take that verse literally, and she started to thank God for the fleas. Now, at first, Corrie was kind of resistant about this. How can you thank God for the fleas? They're making our life miserable. But eventually, she joined in and started to thank God for the fleas. Now, the interesting thing about this story is, again, they had their Bible in there, and women would come in, and they would have prayer meetings and Bible studies, and many women came to faith in Christ. But then they started to ask the question, why don't the guards ever come in here? I mean, if the guards came in and saw what was happening, they would break us up, right? Well, later they realized why the guards didn't come in. Because of the fleas. Isn't it interesting that the thing that they once despised was actually a blessing in disguise? What are some fleas in your life? Don't look at them. Just think about it in your... I said, what are some fleas in your life? Is it possible? Faith is trusting in advance what will make sense in reverse. That thing that is so challenging and difficult for us, if we respond with faith, if we respond wisely, often God will later show us, wow, I was using that for my good and my glory. See, even in prison, infested with fleas, they practice thanksgiving. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for just allowing us to be here today in church. And Lord, on this week of Thanksgiving, it's easy to get focused on everything else but thanking you. But God, I thank you for your grace when we fall short. I pray that this year, and not only on Thanksgiving, but throughout our entire year, we would just practice thankfulness. God, cure us from a complaining, argumentative, grumbling, fault-finding spirit. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Give us a thankful spirit by singing to you. God, help us to even praise you in prison, knowing that you will use that praise to set us free. Help us to praise you through prayer, to not just ask for things, but to also take time to thank you for all the many blessings that we have. And Lord, just help us to testify to others what you've done in our lives. God, help us to be thankful in circumstances. Lord, I know some of us are in difficult circumstances, and I don't want to downplay that. And they're terrible, and they're awful. Like being in a cell infested with fleas. But God, just give us the grace to understand that one day, when the curtain is revealed, we'll be able to see what you are doing in this situation. Oh God, help us to trust in advance what will only make sense in reverse. God, I pray that you would help us to be a thankful, grateful people. We love you, Lord. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Before we take our offering today, I just wanted to let you know about a ministry that we have in our church called Esports. And Esports is one of those ministries that we have that reaches out into our community. And I'm not sure that even everyone knows about Esports. So I just wanted to take a moment and share with you that when you give, you are making ministries like this possible. Did you know that in esports, 10 students, 8 of whom attend consistently, that may not fit into a traditional sport, but they excel in video gaming. Pastor Cameron leads this ministry. It's a varsity-level esports program with weekly Wednesday practices at the church and Thursday competitions, an official league with state and national championship. It was created to give students a place to belong and ultimately an opportunity to encounter Jesus. So when you give, you make ministries like that available. The ushers will come in a few moments to receive your tithes and offerings. We're going to be putting on the screen some different ways that you can give. Let us now give thankfully to the Lord.
Don't you get shy, only lift up your soul. You got a lion inside of us. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of us.
We worship you, we praise you, and we honor you. We ask this in your name, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The third thing that we talked about in giving thanks was to testifying to what the Lord has done in your life. And before you leave today, I want to have you just watch this testimony.
Good morning. My name is Tim Call. I want to share a story that's part of my life story. And I hope it will encourage you. In August of 1985, an uninvited intruder entered our home when my wife, Kate, was diagnosed with cancer. That introduced 9 years of remission, relapse, remission, relapse, etc. Yet during this time, God was faithful to us in so many ways, and we did a lot of living. In February of 1995, Kate went home to be with the Lord. That left the three boys and I to walk on together. We had scars. It wasn't easy, but we did a lot of living, and God remained faithful. I continued to lead our family, practice medicine, and serve on the church board. In 2006, my youngest graduated from high school, and I became an empty nester. However, through those years, I had carried a sadness of grief inside. I'd gotten good, or so I thought, of stuffing my hurt, keeping busy, and wearing a game face. Maybe some of you can relate. In December of 2006, I was attending a conference in Orlando, Florida. There were over 25,000 people. Have you ever been in a group, a large group, and you feel lonely? I did. That Saturday night, I went back to my room and I decided, I'm going to skip the morning sessions and I'm going to go to church. The pastor was preaching that day, because it was a few weeks before Christmas, about Mary and her being visited by an angel and being told that she would bear the Christ child, which she did. At the end of the sermon, he pivots and says, now some of you in this audience have had hopes and dreams, and they have been broken. And you wonder, is it ever possible for you to go on living like you hope to? He then said, we have prayer partners at the front of this church. We invite you, if you would, to come up. Being alone and knowing no one knew I was on a church board, I stepped out and walked forward, but I didn't know what I was going to say. I approached an elderly couple. The woman looked at me and said, how can I pray for you? I was tearing up, stuttering, but finally was able to get four words out. I'm just so sad. Well, As luck would have it, her husband was very hard of hearing. He goes, "What? What did he say?" She looks at him and says, "He says he's sad." "Oh, what? What did he say?" And for the next third time, she goes, "He says he's sad," in a voice that I suspect the first 10 rows could hear quite easily. Then they prayed for me, a simple, kind prayer, both of them. And as they finished, church was already being dismissed. I thanked them. I started walking out. And as I walked out into the outside of the Orlando sun and the trees, I realized that I was lighter than I'd been in years. My spirits were lifted. I felt the Lord had met me there, renewing me and lifting my prolonged grief. Praise Him. A year and a half later, I met Pastor Julie. 3 years later, we were married. And on April 14th, we'll have our 14th anniversary. So why am I telling you this? There's a sentence in James 5:16 that says, "Pray one for another." I simply want to encourage you that if you're carrying burdens of any kind, health, hurt, loss, pain, don't be afraid or slow to ask for prayer. Each Sunday in our church, the pastor shares that there are prayer partners at the front. They would love to pray with you. You don't have to carry this all alone. Asking for prayer is not a sign of weakness. It's a way to maintain spiritual wellness. That prayer in Orlando 29 years ago still gives me comfort today.
Thank you so much, Tim, for sharing that testimony. And that is one of the ways that we can testify to the goodness of God this year, is by sharing our story with others, to share how God has touched and transformed us. So we're going to have friends up here to pray with you. If you would like someone to pray with you, I would encourage you to come forward and ask them to pray for you and allow God to touch you. Next week, I'm going to be continuing this series on gratitude. But I just want to encourage you today. Let's make this Thanksgiving about thanksgiving. Let us take time to sing about the goodness of God, to not only ask God for things in prayer, but to also thank Him for our many blessings. And then let us use this time to testify to what God has done in our life. And let us remember that it's not about necessarily thanking God for everything, but thanking God in everything, and even thanking Him for the fleas. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
So I throw my hands and praise you again and again.